Yeah, I can't count the number of times that somebody has come up to me and said, "Pastor, what should I do?" And it's very hard to give counsel and say the Spirit is leading you in a certain direction, because that is exactly what it is. The Spirit is leading you. I don't pretend to know the will of God for everyone. Sometimes the Lord may give me a word that would help, but to say, you know, this is the way that you should go is a matter between you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you, and He will guide you as you put your trust in Him. And unless there's a clear and defined course of action that is spelled out in the Bible, okay, then I could point you in that direction and say, well, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Word of God says, and you might want to, when you're making decisions, well, you do want to take into account what God's Word is saying in other areas that maybe are not even directly related, but will have an impact. For example, someone wants to move away. And one of my first things to them would be, have you found a church there? Because finding a church is a vital place in the Christian life. And that should be a priority in anyone's life. And that would be something to consider. So again, it might not be, you might think, well, that doesn't really, isn't directly related, but it is. It is. Our Christian lives are the most important things that we have. So what is needed in a believer's life is the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of being led by the Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. In fact, if you look at that, Paul is saying that one of the evidences of salvation is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. They're the children of God. So Paul is taking it for granted here and says, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. Lewis Ferry Chaffer said, the walk in the Spirit or the life that is led by the Spirit is one of the great new realities of this age of grace. Yet some believers are so far removed from this blessing that their daily lives are shaped and adapted to the order and relationships of the past dispensation. It is of one of the supreme glories of this age that the child of God and citizen of heaven may live a superhuman life in harmony with his divine calling by an unbroken walk in the Spirit. I like that. An unbroken walk in the Spirit. That's what we strive for. We strive to walk with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, not have a break in that leading. Psalmist said in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, God wants to direct your steps, and he will direct your steps. He doesn't always let you see a long way down the path, but he does direct step by step. And oftentimes we take one step where there's light, and then he gives more light, he gives greater faith to take the next step. So it becomes a life of faith. It becomes a life of depending on God, a life that is led day by day, moment by moment, by the Holy Spirit. So how are the steps of a man ordered by the Lord? They are led by the Spirit of God. So let's think about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And first, think about how there is a sanctity in the Spirit's leading. A sanctity in the Spirit's leading. Now let me ask you, can I just get some feedback from you here this evening? If you have to make a decision, you want some counsel, some guidance, where do you go? Go to God, okay. Through what? Prayer, okay. Go to prayer. Very good. Where else do you go?
Someone that would know, someone in the church or someone that you're associated with that would know an answer, has previous experience.
Okay, so you go to somebody with experience. That's a good thing. Who else do you go to?
The Word.
Okay, the Word. Not only prayer, but reading the Word and look for direction as God speaks to His Word. Where else? Okay, the Holy Spirit. Let's people. What people do you go to?
Brothers and sisters in Christ.
Pastors, the body of Christ.
If you're married and you're blessed with a Christian spouse, you decide with your spouse.
Your spouse. Parents. All these are good sources of direction. We have Christian counselors like Brian today. There's many people that we can go to look for God's leading. Trusted friends. The wise man Solomon said, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So there's nothing wrong with getting counsel from others. In fact, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So that's a good thing. And I am appreciative for the wisdom of people that God has brought into my life through the years. You know, I can't say that I've always done what other people have counseled me to do. Sometimes that was to my hurt. But they're there for us. And we need to have people that we trust and can go to for counsel, wise counsel. And we should avail ourselves of that. Yet, there are limits to even the wisest of counselors. Like I said earlier, it is very difficult to know the Lord's will for somebody else's life. You know, and when Dave was going through trying to decide whether he's going to do chemo and some of those decisions, I was up front and said, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but Dave, I will support you, you know, in whatever decision you make. And I know there are others that did that the same thing, that were said, you know, I will support you in the decision that you make, but you need to make that decision for yourself and do what you think God is telling you and leading you. And so there is a holiness and a godliness about the Spirit's leading personally. His leadership is constant, it's consistent, it's sacred, it's hallowed. Here's the thing, men may give you good advice, but the Holy Spirit will give you godly advice. Good advice is good, but godly advice is essential. And that's why we need the leadership of the Spirit of God. His way is always perfect. Now, we might not always understand it, but it is perfect. There are times when I follow the Spirit's leading against natural inclinations. It's not the way that I would have chosen. But the Lord knew better than I did on the direction that I should take. The Holy Spirit knows what the right thing to do is, where the right place to go is. He's always correct in His leadership. Why? Because, first of all, He is governed by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never tell you something that is contrary to the Word of God. All of His leading is governed by God. He leads us through the Word, and He leads us by the Word. Thus saith the Lord, should be the rule of our depending on Him for guidance. Now, I have known, and you probably have known people that have done things, that have taken certain steps that were plainly contrary to the Word of God, in direct opposition to what the Word of God taught. For example, a young lady says she believed God wants her to marry a boy that's unsaved. We would counsel them, rightly so, that they should not marry somebody who is unsaved. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. What fellowship does light have with darkness? So there's things that are laid out in God's Word, and God would never give direction that would be opposed to His Word. Sometimes people will skip church because they just feel like they should stay home, or they feel like they need to spend some time with their family. And I'm not saying that that's wrong once in a while, but every Sunday, that would not be the Spirit's leading. In fact, we can make, we were talking about idols this morning, we can even make our family an idol. We can put them before the Lord. A church member says that God told them not to tithe. The Holy Spirit would never tell them that because it contradicts the clear teachings of God's word. I think I told you about the man we had in Toma who would decide whether he was going to come to church or not that day by whether he hit every stoplight green or red. If he hit one red, that meant he didn't go. God doesn't play tricks like that. God doesn't play games like that. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as the day approaches. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And if anyone ever feels a certain impulse that leads them to do something that is in direct violation of the Bible, you can be certain that that is not the leading of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you to follow God's word and its teaching. So it is governed by the word of God. His leading, sorry about that, I missed that one. His leading is also to be guided by the will of God. Guided by the will of God. God has a will for every believer. And the Holy Spirit will always lead us step by step with God's will in mind. So the question is, how can we know God's will? How do we know it? Well, we need it. We know it through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We learn to hear his voice. We learn to hear how he speaks. Some of the greatest counsel I believe that we can receive on finding the will of God is peace. Paul said, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be your umpire. Let the Holy Spirit lead you through peace. If there's no peace, then that's not God's leading. If there's confusion and chaos, that's not God's leading. God's way is the way of peace. And the Holy Spirit, first of all, discloses God's will to a believer. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit wants you to know God's will? Sometimes we think that the will of God is something that is difficult to ascertain. It's something that is elusive, something that we just really can't get a grip on, a handle on. That's not what God desires. God desires his will to be known. He wants you to know his will as much as you want to know it. And so the Holy Spirit discloses the will of God to the believer. Secondly, this is important too. The Holy Spirit will also direct the believer in that will and purpose. All of his leading will be guided by God's will and purpose for a life. He will never lead one to do something or to be something or to go somewhere that's not according to God's will. And sometimes he even stops people from doing things that are contrary to God's will. He will prevent that from happening. I think of Livingstone. Did you know that was his desire to go to China? But God said, no, you're not going to go to China, and stopped him and sent him to Africa instead, where he was a missionary, a statesman, an explorer. But he didn't go exactly where he had thought he was to go. The Holy Spirit stepped in and said, now I've got a different place for you. Follow my leading. Follow my God. And there's William Carey. Planned to go to Polynesia in the South Seas. But God instead led him to go to India and to lay the foundations for the gospel there. Judson did go to India, but he was driven to a particular place. And he was driven to Burma, where he built a church. And Barnabas Shaw was thrust out from Borland and trusted to do God's guidance. Here's what he did. He said, God, I don't know where you want me to go. I know you're just leading me. So you talk about being led step by step. He says, I just got out there with my cattle and my cart, and I let them go. I don't know if that's always the best thing to do, but that's what he thought God wanted him to do. And God directed him to a place as he wandered for 28 days. And finally, there came a man out to meet him who says, come over and help us. Just like Paul's Macedonian call. When Paul had this vision of a man from Macedonia and say, come and help us. Here is a man who literally met someone face to face that said, we need you. Come and help us. And he went there and served those people and became a missionary to them. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's leading is always guided by the will of God in a believer's life. And then, secondly, tonight, a submissiveness in the Spirit's leading. If the Holy Spirit is to lead the believer, there must be a submission to his leadership. We have to submit to that. We have to be willing to do God's will even before we know what it is. If we are not to that place, I doubt that God will lead us and reveal his will. We have to be willing to say, Lord, whatever your will is, I will do it. I will obey. And we cannot see God's will or way for our lives unless he's leading us. Twice, we find this verse in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, chapter 16 and verse 25. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, there is a way which seems right to man, but that is not God's way. It is essential that we listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit if we're going to do it God's way. If we are to be led by the Spirit, there must be a complete compliance to the Spirit's control. In Galatians 5:17, Paul describes the Holy Spirit's desire to control the life of the believer. He spoke of how the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. See, there's a struggle for control. The flesh says, I want to be in control. And the Spirit says, I want to be in control. And they're struggling, they're warring, they're fighting between themselves. Both want to be the authority. Both want to be in charge in the believer's life. And when Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to be filled with the Spirit, the idea is of being under the control of the Holy Spirit. The word filled was used of someone being dominated by a certain emotion, such as anger or sorrow. And so to be filled with the Spirit is to be dominated by the Spirit. It's more than just a feeling. It is a filling. It's being dominated. It's being completely controlled by the Spirit. That's what we need to be if the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. He must be in control. When and only when he is in control can he lead us. And that is the truth of the Scripture. Now, let me give you a test to determine if the Holy Spirit is in control of your life. Okay? Are you doing what you know to do to be God's will? There are some things the Holy Spirit does not have to lead you to do because they're already revealed in the Bible. For example, you don't need to pray and ask God if you should read your Bible. You should. It's already in there. You don't need to pray and ask God if you should come to church. It's already in there. You should do that. You know what I'm saying? There are some things that we don't have to seek the Spirit's leading in because the Word of God has already told us that we should be doing those things. Coming to church. Saved people are in church on Sunday. If company comes, I know once in a while there's things that come up. Company comes, what should you do? You bring them to church with you. You set the example. You let them know that God is a priority in your life. That's what Christians do. I'm not going to go down the list. I think you know what they are. Then a constant obedience to the Spirit's commands. Obedience is much more than a weekend matter. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you have to seek him on a daily basis and be led daily. Submission means that if the Holy Spirit leads me to obey, I obey without hesitation or reservation. Or in other words, I don't put up an argument. I don't fight with God. I don't question Him. I obey Him and do what He leads me to do. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the little boy whose mother told him to sit down, and the boy continued to disobey, so the mom took matters into her own hands, took a hold of him, plopped him down in the chair, said, "You're going to sit there." Fuming, the boy said, "I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." When the Holy Spirit is in control, there's no standing up on the inside. It's submission. It's yielding to His control. And lastly, there is a sensitivity to the Spirit's leading. The word led was used to describe the act of leading about an animal at the end of a rope. You'd put that rope around the animal's neck. You would pull on the rope, and the animal followed. The animal was being led. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks, He usually speaks with a strong impression. Sometimes God speaks audibly. Anybody here ever heard an audible voice of God? A couple of you. I have not. I have never heard that. God has always just spoken to me in the heart. And usually I'll say something, "Lord, if this is from You, let the intensity or let the burden of this increase." And God has always been faithful to do that. That's how He leads me. And then I look for confirmation in the Word, to let Him speak to me through the Word. I go to Him in prayer. Let Him speak peace to my heart. But that's how the Holy Spirit usually speaks. If we are sensitive to His voice, though, we will understand that it is Him. And I think of the phrase that is repeated several times in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, over and over again. We read the words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." If we have spiritual ears, we should be hearing what the Spirit would say to us. And so we need a recognition of the Spirit's voice. Remember Eli, or Samuel rather, and first he thought in the middle of the night when he heard a voice that it was Eli that was speaking to him. And finally, Eli says, "Now Samuel, when you go back down and lay down, when you hear the voice again, I want you to say, 'Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears.'" Your servant is listening. It says there in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." In other words, he was not yet familiar with God's voice. He didn't recognize the voice when it spoke to him. And we become Christians and we're just little children. It takes time to learn the Spirit's voice. But as we live out our experiences, and the more we hear the voice of the Lord, the more He'll speak to us. And we'll recognize more quickly that it is Him that is speaking to us. This all has to do with spiritual maturity. Like Samuel, as a child, there are many believers that are simply children. They haven't matured. They haven't grown up enough. They haven't matured to the place where they know His voice. And I have found on many occasions that the most immature Christians sometimes claim to hear God's voice the most. They claim to. Now, as I recall, I said earlier, the Spirit's leading is always governed by the Word of God, guided by the will of God. But spiritual babes, spiritual children, will oftentimes credit their views, their way of thinking to God and say, "This is what God has told me. This is the way the Spirit is leading." But when you check it out, it's contrary to God's word. Like the guy who said, "I come to church if I hit all the lights green. Qualify that by saying, this is the way God speaks to me about going to church or not. Well, God didn't speak to him about that. That was his own opinion. That was his own thinking. It wasn't God. So just because somebody tells me God told me, doesn't do a whole lot for me unless I know that person to be a spiritually mature Christian. If they are, I'll listen to them. But and I'll listen to anyone, but I won't quickly do it or follow through on it unless I check things out with God first. We had been kind of back and forth between a couple of churches. They were both calling us at one point. This was before we came here to be their pastor. And the one church I did not feel right about, I just was not being led by the Spirit. And so I called the chairman of the deacon board and said, no, we won't be coming for a tryout. I just don't feel that it's right. And afterwards, I found out that the church, the people, lived on what the pastor said. Every Sunday, he would have a whole line of people come up to the front and they would say, this is my situation. Pastor, what should I do? What decision should I make here? And I said, wow, that is a big responsibility that I don't know if I'd be ready to handle that. And there was a lot of personal prophecies that went on, and I know some of those are good. I mean, you find some personal prophecies in the Bible, but again, you got to be aware of those, because I personally believe that if somebody's going to come to me with a word from the Lord, God's also going to speak that word to me. And so there's a lot of personal prophecies, and I said, you know, how can there be so much of that going on, and isn't God speaking to the people themselves? They need to learn to hear God's voice. And later, I couldn't believe this, but in talking to the pastor that had left, he had said, there's some things I just made up. I just told people that this is what God was telling them, but he said, I didn't have a word from God, but they needed to hear something. So I told them. And I thought, man, you know, I could never do that. So there are those that claim to hear the voice of God, but they're not really hearing. And you know, sadly, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that he never said or that he wouldn't do. But people use the excuse, or they think it adds weight to say, well, thus saith the Lord, or this is what God told me to do. And we're supposed to think, well, how can I argue with what God says? A lot of pastor friends who say, you know, God is leading me to resign my church and go to another church. And had one guy, God is leading me to resign my church. I want to be a beach evangelist and things like this, and I said, well, how did your wife take that? Well, I just told her that this is what God said that we had to do, and so who is she to question God? You know, I think that whole thinking is wrong. I do. I think the husband and wife sit down together. As Brian said, if you're married, you take counsel with your wife together. You make those decisions, and don't blame God for that. I had a lot of friends in college who would date these girls. And after a while, they would break up with them, and the excuse was, God told me to break up with you. You know, not that I just don't think we're right for each other or something like that, but God told me. And so here's this poor girl. What's she to think? God told her that maybe she wasn't good enough for this guy or something. So what I'm saying is God gets blamed for a lot of things that he shouldn't get blamed for. There are ideas, there are opinions, there are thoughts, but they're not his. We need to recognize his voice, and we need to follow his voice, but we need to do this. We need to be honest and admit, when I don't know, when I have cannot say that this is God's voice, this is God's leading, but this is what I think, we need to be honest with that, okay? So if you come to me and you're asking me to give you God's will for your life, I probably won't be able to do that. I'll be able to pray for you, And I'll be able to say, God is going to lead you because you are his child. He will lead you. He will speak to you. And you just need to learn to listen and trust him when he does. Okay? All right. And then a response to the Spirit's voice. Not only do we need to recognize it, but we need to respond to it. Be sensitive to his voice. It's a spiritual ability to know that he is leading. And I've had occasions where I know that I was led by the Spirit to do something, and it's worked out great. There are other times when I know that I was led by the Spirit not to do something, and I went ahead and did it, and it didn't work out so great. But you have to be aware that the Spirit longs to lead you, and we need him to lead us. We need him to lead us. I wish I could just make it real easy for you. And I don't know that just finding the will of God, I know he wants to give you his will. I know he wants to show it to you. But I don't necessarily think it's an easy process, because it's a time of seeking him. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of reading. It's a time of meditation. It's during those times, I think, that we grow closer to God as we depend upon him to lead us. And the other thing is, the more you are led by him, the easier it will become, because you learn to hear his voice, and you can obey and distinguish that voice more quickly than before. So.
Can I tell a cute story?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
The leading of the Spirit. This has been a number of years ago. I was involved in an all-day prayer meeting, and it was held in Des Moines, Iowa. So, of course, there were a lot of people there that you just went, and it was an all-day prayer. There were a lot of people we didn't know. And the way it kind of worked, they'd give us a topic. It was for the upcoming election that year was the purpose of this prayer meeting. And they would give us a topic to pray about. You'd break into small groups within the church and pray within your group. And if something came to you and you wanted to stand up and announce it to everyone, you could. Well, there was a woman up in the front, and about every 5 minutes, the Spirit was speaking to her. And the Spirit was always, she'd stand up, and the Spirit just told me, blah, blah, blah. And, the first few times it happened, it was, okay. Everybody's starting to wonder, in my group anyway, how come the Spirit's only speaking to her? And this went on for about 3 hours that morning. We broke for dinner, got back into the afternoon session, and same thing. About halfway through the afternoon, she jumped up, and the Spirit told me this. And some of the things were pretty off the wall. There was a guy in the back somewhere, and he stood up and he said, "Well, the Spirit just told me you need to sit down and be quiet."
Oh, wow.
And all you could hear was a whole bunch of amens. So sometimes it's not always the Spirit speaking.
Yeah, it is true. And sometimes the Spirit will speak, but he is a gentleman and he doesn't interrupt. One time I was in a service where the pastor was preaching and somebody started a message in tongues or prophecy, I don't remember which, and he stopped the person and said, "I'm speaking right now," because God is not a God of disorder. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't interrupt. Now, did that person have a word? Very well could have, but that was not the time to give it, and they could have waited to when there was a break in the service to give it and to be used by God in that way. But there was a proper time for that, and that was not the time. So, yeah, again, it's easy to say, the Lord told me to say this. And I had at North Central had a, I don't know that I recommend doing this, but they probably had a church that were using the gifts a lot. And he said when somebody gave a prophecy, he would look to the other people in the church that were known to give prophecies And he would look at them and they would either nod their head in agreement or shake their head in disagreement with what was being said. I don't think I would do that, but it's just, again, not everyone, everything that is said, thus saith the Lord, is of the Lord. You need to be careful of that. Anyone else?
I would like to say something. This morning you talked about lifting our hands to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to lift my hands up a lot of times, but back a number of years ago, I lifted my hands to the Lord for 1 hour and prayed for the high pressure in Calvin's eyes, and he was delivered.
Mm.
And thought it would be good to tell you. And yes. Now I learned tonight, he just called me before I came to church, and he said he fell. He was in Texas working at a house, and he fell about 8 feet or so. And he was going right on his head, and he hit the cement. He said his head even bounced, and all he got was a cut off when he thought he was probably going to die. And the ladder slipped one way, and he went the other way, and he fell. So he let out a scream so the others would hear him. They were in the other room. And I said, that's nothing but a miracle, because he landed on a cement floor.
Hmm.
It was a miracle of God that he was delivered just recently. What a thrill to know God is with us so mightily. And he just didn't have to go to the doctor, nothing. He says, I didn't even have a headache. And yet his head bounced 20 minutes.
Wow. Wow.
That's amazing. I said, you must have a hard head. But praise the Lord. The Lord was in it. And I often think of the time he was delivered from high pressure in his eyes, because you don't want him to get glaucoma, and that's what they usually think once you have high pressure in your eyes.
Yeah.
God delivered him. It was something I don't usually do much of at all, because it just seems like it wears me right off. But I managed an hour to hang in there and pray, because I knew it was very, very important, and God did answer. And that goes along with your sermon,
yes.
So I thought I would tell it.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ray?
Well, I thank God lays things on our heart to even pray for some people, maybe haven't even thought about that person. And you lay that thought will come into your mind to do that. And so and this is how God speaks to us, I believe anyway. It's from His Spirit to our spirit.
Right.
And then, we're supposed to do that. And if you do not do that, that keeps bugging you. It just keeps bugging you.
Oh, sure.
Until you get that done, and then it goes away.
Yeah, that is another good point. If it is the Spirit that is speaking, He's going to keep on tugging at your heart. You know, it's not going to go away. But on the other hand, we do need to learn to obey immediately. And that comes again with maturity, because we might miss out on something if we don't obey. You know, I was thinking that this is in a physical realm, but we can relate it to the spiritual. We were in Growing Kids God's Way last week, and the speaker was talking about how they had trained their children to first-time obedience, you know, without question. And the dad came out one day and saw that there was a snake ready to spring poisonous snake on his son. And so he said, son, I want you to hit the ground and crawl to me. And that son immediately hit the ground and crawled to him. Didn't say, why, Dad? You know, that doesn't make any sense, Dad. But immediately he did that, it saved his life. You know, obedience could save your life, could save the life of somebody else. So it's important as a Christian that we obey the Spirit's leading, and we do it immediately. So.
God talked to me one time, and I did. to me it was an audible voice, but I always pleaded the Lord Jesus all the time, and this was happened to be on a, in June, and we had a thunderstorm, and so I had pleaded the blood that morning, and lightning struck and wasn't very far from me. Didn't hurt my animals or didn't hurt me, but it blew out all the main fuses in my saw barn. It blew out all the main fuses down in my son's house. And so I had to put in the main fuses on that night before I could make anything work. But all the light bulbs blew out and I didn't replace that. So this was getting along for the fall of the year. This would happen to be on a Sunday night. I remember to bring some light bulbs along. So I screwed them in. And then there was a voice that said, you know, what did bleeding that blood do? You know, what all happened? And then there was another voice that got real angry. How would you know that you were under my protection if that hadn't happened? And that was just as, you know, audibly to me as if somebody was there and said them words.
Yeah, it's good. You know, and I like what Brian had to say about checking with your wife. If your husband, wife, you become one. You know, and sometimes the Lord will speak to your spouse, and as if He's speaking to you, and you need to trust them. Now, that's not saying that you blindly follow them. I mean, you do need to check things out. But I think about Jim Sammons was given a testimony one time, and he was saying that. His wife told him to call someone. And he said, why? She said, I don't know. I just think that you need to call this person. And I know that you need to do it now. And so he picked up the phone and he called the person. And the person said, I was just ready to take my life. And your phone call interrupted me. And so Jim was able to say, just hold on. You know, I'm coming and we'll be able to talk this thing through. And he turned to his wife and he said, how did you know? And she said, I didn't, except the Lord just spoke to me, said he needed to call this man. And he listened to his wife, and, you know, and those kind of things give you goosebumps, me anyway. But we need to be led by the Spirit, and it says that as children of God, we will be led by the Spirit. And I have some specific ways in the message if you really want to get specific in understanding the will of God, but I do believe that if we're His children, He will lead us, and we need to learn to be led. Yeah, Ray.
I was reading in Dr. Barclay's commentary, and he was talking about the sperma in the Greek, you know, the conception between a husband or between the husband and the wife, the conception, how this, you know, just at the conception, that's just the start. And it takes 9 months before this is born. So he likened this unto a Christian, is that you accept Jesus Christ, but then all of a sudden you don't have all the knowledge, or you're not just born of them immediately, but this takes a period of time before it really gets so people know what's going on or what someone's leading in.
Well, I think it takes a while sometimes to learn to hear and distinguish God's voice. But it can happen, you know, pretty early on. John the Baptist was actually filled with the Spirit when he was in his mother's womb. You know, and that was, they say hearing is developed around the 7th month. So that's pretty early. So as Christians, we need to early on, I think, learn to hear God's voice.
I think many times we hear His voice, and as we grow in our Christian walk, we need to become more obedient to it. I was guilty of it, and I know the other people. That couldn't have been the Lord telling me, basically, because I didn't want to do it.
No, sure.
You know, it's the obedient part, because I think He speaks to us Well, we're led very easily. I mean, we're led by the Spirit. But sometimes we don't like where he's leading us, so, well, that can't be the Lord leading me.
Yeah, that's true. Anyone else? Joan.
For myself, I get people's names in my mind, and I pray for them. And this one couple was having a hard time in the marriage, and I was talking to her, and I said, when you know that you can't pray anymore, cry out to someone, and God will put on that person in that person's mind, and then pray for them. That's what happens to me. I said, I get your name from my mom, and I cry over on her behalf. And she told me afterwards, she told me afterwards that that so helped her. And that time for me that she cried out for someone, that God used people on her behalf.
Sure. We are his instrument here upon earth. We have to be his hands and his feet and his mouth and all of those things. It's very good.
Sometimes it's hard when you hear God's will and you have your husband that's not saved because you want to go with, you know you're supposed to do God's will, but yet you have to be obedient and submissive to your husband as well. As like,
yes.
You know, it's just even hard to pray. Sometimes, you know, and know what to do in certain situations, major, major decisions.
I'm sure some of the ladies probably could speak to that, you know, better than me as a man, I'm sure. But the number one thing to remember, you know, Proverbs 23:1 says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whatever way he wishes. So you can ask God to turn your husband's heart and to, as the king of the home, as a leader, to make the right decisions and do the right things. I know women sometimes have to sit by and be submissive and watch their husbands make mistakes, but you'll have to trust that God can work even through those mistakes, which he can. Which he can. Yeah. All right. Again, I'd like to call you to prayer tonight. I didn't make a prayer list out, but I would like us just to find a place of prayer tonight to be able to pray for a few minutes. Pray as long or as short as you want, but let's specifically pray for the revival that's coming up with Ron Rhodes and just lift some individuals up to the Lord tonight.